Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Welcome, everybody. Of course, this is the Big Daily Blend Show and our new but old show. And also, because we're going to be talking about food today, this is also for our listeners to who tune into our Eat, Drink, and Be Merry shows as well here on Big Blend Radio. But today, we're excited to welcome back Chef Ivan Flowers to the show. He's a five-star chef and also a culinary instructor where he teaches high school students out in Temecula, California, which is known for its wine country. It's also got a lot of agriculture and sustainable agriculture, organic, a lot of good farms out there. But welcome back, Chef Ivan. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be with you guys.
Hey, cool. Good to have you here too. And yeah. You know, it's Sunday, January 14th, 2024. So we're in the new year and we're bringing back our old tradition of raising a glass to Champagne Sunday toast. This is something we've been doing since the day we started our podcast, which is about, I think it's 16 or 17 years this year. And that our whole show started on Champagne Sundays. And Ivan, we've known you for that long, haven't we, actually, now that I think of it. Because you were on our show back when you and Tracy lived in Arizona. And I think you came on our show before you were even married. When you guys got together and got totally hitched. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like going back some time. And you were on our Champagne Sunday show and we all raise a glass. And I think I want to start off by raising a glass to what we're talking about today, which is Sunday supper. Sunday supper, it's a new movement, but it's really old school, right? January celebrates it's Sunday supper month, and January 14th it's actually celebrated every second Sunday of January is a national Sunday supper day. This was started by a mom and a blogger who wanted her kids went off to college and she's like, hey, come back home. We need to have dinner. So it's a traditional thing. Did you do this, Ivan, as a family? Have Sunday suppers?
When I was younger, we did. When I was younger, we did. And then when I met Tracy, she was always very, and we still do it to this day. It's very important that we have a Sunday dinner. And, you know, Sunday supper, Sunday dinner, very important. Talk about what happened the week before. You talk about what's going to happen the next week.
It's cool. And it's not about it's the food, right? And also cooking at home and being relaxed, but it's about actually spending that conversation time, right?
And then talking about what you cooked, you know, tomato. Did you believe this tomato? And, you know, look at the persimmons, you know, my God, the way these persimmons taste, or the salad, the dressings you make, the bread, the butter, everything.
Real butter.
Everything.
Real butter.
Real butter. Real good butter. Yeah.
Plastic. Remember real butter?
Yeah. I read an article that margarine is basically like 1% away from being pure plastic now.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's hydrogenated oil. Yeah, it's horrible.
Ew. Nancy, did you have Sunday suppers growing up? I mean, you had a big family.
Yeah, we had a big, big family. But the Sunday suppers that stick in my mind were at my granny's house. She pulled out all the stops Sunday evening, and sometimes her Sunday dinner started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And she still called it supper, but she was British. So I don't know if that had something to do with it, but she put on a spread. She really, really did. And she spent all morning cooking, and sometimes the night before she would be prepping stuff. And it was a big deal with her. At my own family's house, not so much.
But as you and I always had dinners where, you know, she wanted to know what was good. She could tell. That's how she knew if I was up to no good, like at the dinner table, because you can't lie. You know, your eyes tell it all. Like, she could really have a good look at my face to see if I was lying about smoking in the
boys' room. Smoking in the boys' room.
But we've created a tradition of Champagne Sunday. That is our tradition. And having a Sunday brunch, Nancy makes omelets. And, you know, we kind of do a brunch thing. And whenever she does the brunch with croissants, that's the thing to me. We have to have croissants. We need croissants. They're big. What's our toast? Let's go to a toast. Nancy, you started it. So what's your champagne toast today?
Okay, this is going to sound weird, but hear me
Uh-oh.
out. I would like to toast to food fights, especially family food.
Food fights.
Food fights. Because our family, when there was a celebration, for some reason, as you finish the meal, somebody would go, "Food fight!" And then that was it. And we just throw food at
Uh-oh.
each other. Well, we didn't waste anything because there's dogs to eat it. And also because you've already cleaned your plate, pretty much. So it wasn't that bad, but it sure was fun. I
Ivan,
don't know.
you're a chef. Are you cringing at the food fight?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
My toast would be cheese. The
Oh.
families that for generations have made cheese that special certain way where it's like, oh my,
Oh my God.
it's like you've never experienced anything like it. We're not
No.
talking about Velveeta or a
No.
pre-sliced Munster. We're talking about, Taleggios and Blues and Port Salut and Gruyere
Gouda.
and yes, smoked Gouda. Yeah, cheese
Oh.
that you just like you die for it.
Yeah. South
Can
Africa, because we had
someone
the
say
Dutch and the
describable?
French. We had the Dutch and the French, and the cheeses there.
The cheeses were
I
fresh
mean, and
and
they have the
good.
wine country. And so you could go to a winery, and around the corner is the cheesemonger, and they would have those huge, the Edam and the Gouda with the wax around it. And then they'd give you a tasting. They'd stick this thing in there and pull out this big, long thing of cheese. But it was always, I don't know. It's like, I don't know how to explain, but I know it's aged, but it's fresh. It's different than by the time it goes to a grocery store. I don't know if it's a refrigeration process or what happens to cheese. But if you go to the source, the cheese is better and fresher from the source, even though it's mold, right? It's weird. Like what happens? I'm hungry now.
Well, things like blocks of cheese wrapped in plastic are just not the same as cheese not wrapped in plastic.
How do you store it? What are some tips on storing cheese, Ivan? Do you just let it?
Brown paper is one of the best. Sometimes if you wrap it too much and you put it in the refrigerator, condensation will build up and you'll get some mold. And when you do get mold on cheese, you don't throw it away, just cut the mold off. You just take a knife and you shave it. It's like with certain sausages. They'll turn white and moldy on the outside and you just scrape that off. It's just the process
Really?
of how they make it. So it keeps continuing. So you just take that small amount off and you're fine.
Oh, I
Even
saw
your
that with some
sausage.
salami once, and I was just like, dude, I'm not touching that. But now I know. Huh.
Oh yeah.
Nancy's
You can just
dying. She's
cut
not.
it off.
I'm fine with doing it with cheese, but the sausage, I don't want to play with moldy sausage. That sounds terrible, but
No.
it's true. I'm
Oh
toasting
my.
to all the farmers, the small farmers who go through so much. They have to deal with climate change, water restrictions, and also trying to be pest-free, organic, biodynamic, all these growers, vineyards, what they go through to put food out for us, healthy, vibrant food. And then, like, it just, please, when you really start to understand farming, don't let your vegetables go rotten in the bottom shelf of the fridge. Don't do it. It's a waste. But these farmers really work hard, and I just want to toast to farmers and farmer families. It goes with the
Yes, hear, hear.
cheesemongers. Oh, well, this is a good spread to start off with. Chef Ivan, we've got a great recipe for you from you and everyone. It's linked on blendradioandtv.com. It's all the links that we're talking about today. We have some music to talk about, a playlist. We're going to talk about books, movies, and everything that relates to Sunday suppers and food and just fun. That is all linked in the show notes. But your recipe is pan-roasted Muscovy duck breasts with spiced orange marmalade sauce. You have me at the spiced orange marmalade. That's ooh. But Muscovy duck breasts. Okay. Now, have the kids that you teach, have they done this recipe?
We're going to be doing it shortly. We're actually going to be bringing in whole Muscovy
Oh.
ducks. We're going to cut the breast off. They'll cook that off, and then they're going to take the legs and confit them. And then they're going to take the duck liver and make a pate.
Wow. Wow.
So it'll be duck freeways.
Where do you get duck? I don't think Nancy and I have ever cooked duck.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think so.
Is it like a regular thing you can get in a grocery store, or should you go to a butcher?
No, they sell them frozen. They sell them in the freezer section. A lot of people get weird with duck because duck, you know, it's poultry. And poultry, you always cook to 165, but duck, you actually don't. Duck, you cook medium rare, medium. So you go to about 145. It's got the color of steak. It's got the color of beef. And it's a bit gamey, depending on what kind of duck you buy, but people get nervous with duck.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't want to go over, you don't want to go too rare because it'll chew, and you don't want to go too well because it'll dry out. The trick with duck is there's a large amount of fat. The skin is rather thick.
Mm-hmm.
If the skin is too thick, if it's like a very thick rind, you take a sharp knife and you would go horizontally across and take some excess off. But the trick with duck is you want to render out the fat. And so what you do is you salt it and you put it in a Teflon pan over medium-low heat. And you wait until that fat comes out and that skin starts to render and get very, very crispy. And you'll be surprised how much fat comes out of the duck. Oh. You then turn it over and you baste both sides with the duck fat that's come out. And you want a skin that's very, very crispy. And then when you rest it for about 5 minutes, when you cut slices, you don't have this big rind of fat and then the meat. You've got like 90% meat and just a little crispy skin on top. And it's really very, very, very simple. Very simple. The sauce is so simple. I use a sugar-free orange marmalade and I mix Calabrian chilies in with it. You can use it as a sauce on the plate, or you could also take a little bit of it and you can brush it on the crispy skin as well. And then when you cut into it, duck has a very unique taste. You either like it or you don't. It tastes
it's
a lot
rich.
Like squab.
It's rich to me. Very
it's rich. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's rich. But it's delicious. But you have
you either like it or you don't.
And
yeah, you don't want to eat.
No.
I think the first time I really tasted duck properly was at a restaurant in Tucson. It was a Flying V Ranch. Remember, Nancy, that resort out there? And they had this wonderful grill. They did like tableside guacamole and stuff, which was fun and cool. And plowed us with a lot of tequila and margaritas beforehand. But they made duck tacos. And I have to tell you, that was insane. I had never experienced duck like that and duck as in tacos. And it was so rich, but it was so delicious. But you really can't eat too much of it because it's like a delicacy. That was one of those meals where I just sat up and went, wow. And who would think of doing it with tacos? But man, was it good because of the spice element they added too, like what you're talking about. Ooh.
It's also very easy. You can make duck prosciutto. You take the breast and you cure it. I used to cure it in salt and brown sugar with spices and wrap it in cheesecloth and let it hang for a month. In a walk-in refrigerator, and then brush all of that off, and you have duck prosciutto that you cut paper thin that you use for amuse-bouche and charcuterie. Comes out delicious, delicious.
Ooh, wow. This is good.
Can you use
can
you use pieces of duck like on a shish kebab?
Sure. Yeah. Do it yakitori style, where you have that special charcoal. You take your skewer, you put a little, you know, let it sit in water overnight and do it yakitori where you're doing a little grilling. And what you would add to that is like, I would add the heart, you know, along with it, and just don't waste any of the duck. Of course, the liver makes incredible pate and rillettes because it's so rich. Are you there?
You know, okay. No, I'm just like, I'm like, this is yummy. I mean, Now, when with duck, when we're talking about the, you know, here's a Sunday supper movement, and hopefully not just January, everyone, even if it's once a month or something, right? Duck would probably was, you know, was looking at this going, now are people going to make duck over for a Sunday supper, right? But I think it's actually perfect. And yours is for two, but you can double this recipe pretty easily. This would, when you were talking about conversation of food, this would be interesting to get people to try something they may not have tried before. Or, you know, maybe it's a family that, you know, maybe they raise ducks. It's like, hey, we need a new recipe. We've been eating duck all our lives. But, you know, this is fascinating to me because even just buying it, yeah, you can get it in the freezers. But I'm wondering about like how our turkeys are. This is Muscovy's. And I love Muscovy ducks, though. But people getting duck, I wonder, if, like, can you get them organically?
You can.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So
you can
stay healthy with that. And then
And you get the whole duck. The head is on it. The neck is on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the feet are on it. You know, there are people that eat duck feet. And,
really?
You know.
Wow.
The thing with duck is...
I was just going to say, is this like goose too? Like, could you use the same kind of recipe?
Well, goose is much fattier. Well, goose is really fatty. Like when you're, you don't see goose a lot, but goose. Mm-hmm. Muscovy's date back to 1555, where London introduced them to France. And then, of course, France went crazy with the moulard duck and the foie gras and all of that. But Muscovy's have been around a long time. You find them a lot in the American Southwest, New Mexico. It's, you know, where turkeys are our bird, ducks are really from Europe. And when Christmas would come back in the olden days in Europe, they would do a goose. And with a goose, a lot of times what they would do is they would put it on a rotisserie over fireplace. And they would turn it because you really need to render out that fat. Goose are just so much fat. But then they would save that fat and they would cook with it.
Yeah. You know, speaking of fat, I just saw the craziest thing on Facebook or Instagram, one of the reels, right? And I don't know why I get weird stuff, but I do. And this is this lady out in like somewhere in Asia, Southeast Asia or something, in a jungle setting, right? And they had pig, she had like a skinned pig.
Ew.
And she had this big vat of oil, and she took the pig and it was all connected, right? It wasn't like she didn't cut it all the way down at all, but it was this monster. I don't know how she did it. It was like almost looking like a giant drumstick, but it was pig. And she took the meat and she cut huge like squares, like probably 2 inches that would go down through all of its fat. So it looked like a checkerboard. And she sat it twirling this giant thing in oil, and it was frying like that. And then she cut it, and then she put it in. She was putting it inside of like banana leaves with like cabbage and carrots and some sauces and spices. It could have been Vietnam, even. I have no idea where she was. But and then she wrapped all like she would take these chunks of meat, and they looked really tender. And I was going, wait, I would not know that. I think this was looking good, but it was looking really good. But she added like chilies and stuff like that. And I think some kind of moist something. But it had a lot of fat. And then she wrapped him into like a little package with these leaves and then roasted them on a coal fire. And then opened it up. And it was like this stew already in its own plate. I mean, it was like a stew, but like a fresh stir-fried kind of stew. And it was, I mean, but the amount of fat that came off that pig and what she was frying it in was insane. I mean, I didn't realize how much fat.
They have a lot of fat.
Piggies are fat, man. That's some crazy cool like bush style cooking that I was like, that woman's badass, man. I mean, trying to even wrestle that thing. But anyway, that's fat. So when you look at that fat, is the goose fattier than the pig, do you think? Or is the pig fatter?
A goose would be fattier. especially large goose. Yeah, they're very fatty. They have an enormous amount of fat on the breast, on the entire goose. It's really thick, white, heavy fat.
Wow. Wow. That's insane. Now that I'm like trying to add that up. So duck is a little bit less fatter, like it's not as fatty. And
yes.
So it's rich. So you don't need to like have piles of it on your plate either. So Sunday supper.
No.
Yeah. One breast.
Four or five
each.
Slices is all you need. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like a 7 ounce breast. So you could even go less, like 3/4 of a breast. Like this duck, a 7-8 ounce Muscovy can do two people very easily.
Okay. And then serve it, with carrots or potatoes or whatever you want to serve it with.
Yeah, whatever you want. You always need some kind of a glaze or a sauce that's going to have some sweetness and acidity because you want to cut through the richness.
Okay.
So you want to have something that's going to cut through that really rich duck.
Mm. Like a vinaigrette and like your peppers. Something,
spice, lemon, lime, vinegar. You know, something that's going to really a touch of sweetness that works with that caramelized fat, and it gives you a really wonderful flavor and mouthfeel. And duck, when it's done correctly, is very tender, very tender.
So, what's the Peking orange duck thing? Is that this is kind of like a different version of it because you're using marmalade and these?
Well, you know, it's
peppers.
Funny. The duck is called Peking, the breed Peking. But it's Peking with a G when it's cooked in the Chinese method of smoking it, roasting it, and then getting the skin super crispy. Then that becomes a Peking duck because it was cooked in that Chinese style. But it's actually Peking, P-E-K-I-N.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So here, so I'm adding another song to our list, Ducks by the Kinks. Ducks on the wall. It's all ducky, right? Rubber ducky, you're the one. So, hey, here's to doing something new. Could you take this recipe and use chicken on it if you wanted, or turkey?
Sure.
Would it work?
Sure.
Cool.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, you could.
I love that you always have recipes like this where you can change it up and do, they're, manageable in that way. So, speaking of the Sunday night supper, or the Sunday afternoon, whatever you're doing. We always have our quote of the day on our Big Blend community page and Twitter at Big Blend Mag. We do our quote of the day. And I need help choosing what we're going to do. I've got four good quotes, and I think some are funny and some are really nice. So the first one is by Laurie Colwin, who was an author. She was also in part of James Beard's publications. Here's her quote. The table is a meeting place, a gathering ground, the source of sustenance and nourishment, festivity, safety, and satisfaction. A person cooking is a person giving. Even the simplest food is a gift. What do you guys think? Ivan, is that a good quote? Do you like that?
That's a good quote. I like that a lot.
Nancy, you good?
Right.
Okay. Here's a nice, another nice one. The dinner hour is a sacred happy time when everyone should be together and relaxed. That is our Wonder Woman, Julia Child. Is that good? Do you like that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's winning so far, Laurie or Julia?
Oh, God.
I like them both.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, you guys aren't any help. Okay, that's all right. So the other two that I think is funny, Michael J. Fox, he said, the oldest form of theater is the dinner table. And I think that's funny. I think that goes with yours, Nancy.
Yeah.
And I think Oscar Wilde probably went to Michael J. Fox's house for dinner because he said, after a good dinner, one can forgive anybody, even one's own relations. So I think that's pretty funny.
That's good.
They're cute, man. Those are cute quotes. Yeah. I love that. But so for book of the day, we've got a reading list because, we start talking to Ivan and all of a sudden we expanded, which is good. Our first one was Cooking with Love, Ventures into the New Israeli Cuisine by Ruth Milstein. Ruth's on our show every third Sunday. Mm-hmm. But we chose this book because it's all about healthy recipes, very much Mediterranean food. And because she changed it up and it's cooking with love, just like that quote we were talking about. And it's about families coming together and meals that she's very big about getting kids and families to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. And she just, that's a big focus of hers. And I think that's cool. A Mediterranean food. What do? You do those kind of dishes, Ivan? Mediterranean cooking?
Oh, it's the greatest. It's the greatest. It's the greatest lifestyle there is, the Mediterranean way of eating. You don't call it a diet. It's Mediterranean. It's lean proteins. It's grains. It's a lot of fresh vegetables. I mean, it's the way to eat.
With
it
wine.
Is the way we were supposed to eat. With wine. Mm. Yes, definitely with wine.
Absolutely.
The Mediterranean way to go is, without a doubt, it's the way to go. Mm-hmm. Remember, as a chef, I followed one simple rule my entire life. There are some chefs that they'll draw pictures and they'll think about a dish. It's going to look like this on the plate. You never do that. All you do in your mind the entire time you enter the kitchen till you plate the dish is you think about how delicious you're going to make it for the person you're cooking it for. Then when you're in the moment, a la minute, it'll plate beautifully every time. It's a natural progression. If you reverse it and let the tail wag the dog, well, I wanted to make it look like this, you're going to miss that little extra pinch of salt, a little bit of herb at the end, a touch of that vinegar or garlic or butter for a glaze. You've got to think constantly what it's going to taste like for the person you're cooking it for.
Mm-hmm. I love this. This is the favorite part of this conversation today, because I think that's it when we think about a Sunday dinner together, right? And listen, even if you screw up and burn something in the kitchen and you're doing it with love and you burn it with love, but, you know, because, you know, it could be a new recipe or something, that's a family fun moment, right? But I think that intention of what you're doing in the kitchen, it's like thinking about, you know, are you going to have like 10 ingredients, you know, as a side dish that you really don't need, or three that are really quality that you're going to share and talk about?
You don't need the kitchen sink. Less is more. Less is always more. Tracy just did a flatbread pizza the other day.
Ooh.
And, you know, not a ton of cheese and tomatoes that were perfectly seasoned and alouette. And by the time she was done, I took a picture and I was like, you know, this is like Rembrandt. But she never once thought about how it was going to look. All she thought about was what she's going to put on it. And then, of course, that transcends into, holy cow, now that. And what do you eat with first? Your eye.
That's why you want fresh ingredients, you know? Even fresh cheese.
Your nose and your eye.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's important. What would, you know, thinking about also what you're going to drink with your meals, right? I definitely want wine if we're having family around. That's it. Wine is coming to the table for sure. I might have to have a cocktail beforehand. Might need martinis. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe a bottle of tequila. Who knows? But, you know, just saying back to Thanksgiving again, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But wine, what would you pair with your duck recipe? Because I feel like you could do a really kind of dry white wine with that because of the marmalade and the richness.
You could. Sure. You could do a dry white. You can do a Viognier. You can do a nice rosé. You could do red.
Yeah.
You could do red. You know, there's no right and wrong anymore, you know.
Do
whatever you
do.
Like to drink. Yes, of course.
Exactly.
It's almost steaky. You can do a big Zinfandel if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's right, because you said like it is almost like a red meat, right? Okay, books of the day. You mentioned Betty Crocker, and we found out that she was part of General Mills. So she's not, I thought she was a person all my life until today.
Right, they made her up. Right?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Aunt Jemima's real. Yeah. She's real. I don't want to forget Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, she's cool.
The Joy of Cooking. This was a book that came out in the 70s, 1975, I think. John Becker, Ethan Becker, Irma S. Rombauer. There's more people. There's a bunch of Rombauers and people who did this. The Joy of Cooking. Ivan, did you have that in your family household? I think we've had it every country we lived in.
We have.
It was always full of flour. Every time you picked it up, it was like a good cookbook needs to be stained.
It was.
Yes. A lot of baking in that, too. So, yeah, it covers everything from savory to sweet to doughs to breads to roasting to soups.
It had that whole section in the front teaching you what all these terms were, too, because none of us knew. You know, I remember cooking out of that, and Nancy had this cookbook, and I remember making one egg yellow sheet cake or something, egg cake or something. I don't know, but yellow kind of cake. And then I graduated to coffee cakes, and then I started doing roasts, and I started learning all of this stuff from this cookbook. And Nancy's like, "This is great! I've got a chef going off in the kitchen." But we lived on a farm, a small farm with our horses, and had a vegetable garden, and you know, passion fruit growing off the vine. We had our own capers growing from nasturtiums, and avocados in the backyard, papaya or pawpaw, whatever you want to call it. I mean, mango trees. Seriously spoiled,
it was
right?
Awesome.
And we even had our own sugar cane. So
yeah,
it was like it was magic. We had monkeys that were and we had our own chickens. It was, and we had a lot of snakes on that farm, though. That
yeah,
was
we
the
did.
That was
that
not
was
the
the
fun part.
downfall.
I'm surprised we're still alive, but cooking, I'll never forget that as a kid, cooking. And what about the supper club ideas, getting kids involved with cookbooks and like your recipes, to have them be part of the family dinner, doing something, not just sitting on the couch with a phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, inspiring kids to get into it is such a huge part of it. But yeah, what was that book, Nancy? It had like, I think it was 401 American Recipes or something.
Something
Remember
like
that big
that.
book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
You
was
know,
huge. And it had great photos in it, so you really knew what to do.
Yeah, you understood. At
Yeah.
Diagrams, like, this is what sifting is. Because, you know, I remember trying to make something and I caught the stove on fire. And that book saved me because they talked about kitchen fires and I caused a kitchen fire. And I was home alone. And no, it was scary. And I remember I just read something in that book. And if I hadn't, because it was an electric stovetop, I would have thrown water and electrocuted myself. But I threw the entire canister of flour on it, which was a big mess. That was not a cool thing.
Yeah, but it was
but
that bad.
that taught me to keep your stove clean and that things can burn.
Yeah.
And yeah, but that scared the heck out of me. But that's a, do you have to do that with the students? Teach them about like fire safety and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, before they even get into the kitchen, they have to pass an exam of over 150 questions for safety and sanitation before they can even cook. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, from everything
Wow.
from the danger zone to what, how to put out flowers to if pans are too hot and they go into ignition, how to put that out and just all of it. You know, the biggest thing is them trying to control the flames. I have very high BTU stovetops. It's all controlling that flame, watching that flame and listening. You know, knowing when a pan is hot enough to put something on where it doesn't stick, and they have to develop, it's a feel, and that feel is based on technique, and you just keep going over it and over it and over it. And of course you have to watch them. We were doing polpette de carne, small Italian meatballs, a few weeks ago, and somebody was throwing it into the pan with oil like a basketball shot.
Oh no.
And I'm like, what are you doing? What
Dude,
are you doing?
Yeah, but I get why they're doing it. Come on, you know you want to
That's
do it too,
funny.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I remember. I remember seeing it. It was the same house. I think I got into like a fire mode or something. But you know, you see on TV where someone, you know, burns a letter and they're mad at someone and they throw it in the trash can. So
Yeah.
I thought that would be fun, except for my trash can was plastic and it melted the cork.
Right.
And I ran and got flour and put it on that too.
That's right.
I was not popular.
These had flour all over the house.
I was not a popular person at that stage, but and then I tried it again. But I now know better. So anyhow, that was stupid. But I want to go to your book that you immediately came up with, was The Art of French Cooking by Julia Child. I find, do you think her success was that she was American going to France and was able to make it appealable to Americans and not over Frenchified? No offense to the French at all, but you know what I mean?
None taken. No, that was her secret. You know, she started cooking at 36, 38. She went to France, and you know, a lot of the French cooks, they apprentice when they're 12 years old and they go into programs with cooking and baking. She said, wait a second, I can do this. And one of her greatest lines, she did a show where she was deboning a chicken, and she cut her finger, like, really bad, and it was bleeding. And she said, well, the only one that knows if you're in the kitchen alone that you cut your finger is you. So just tape it up and just, you know, keep going. She had, she didn't have this ego, you know. She just loved to cook. Because if you don't love cooking, you shouldn't be cooking. It's if you don't love it, you'll hate it. It's work. It's hard. But if you love it and you're cooking it for someone, I think it's the greatest art form on the planet.
Wow. I think, well, it is. And it's temporary, right? Which is why you appreciate it while you're doing it. It's like wine, really good wine, and you know that bottle will never be there again because now you have to wait for the next harvest, you know? It's like, and so you better appreciate that moment, you know? That's really true. And if you don't like it, you're just going to make the other people sick at the table. Like, don't cook in anger, you know?
Well, my granny always told me you have to be gentle with your produce. You know, or you bruise them and you don't throw things. You place gently with care.
Tracy does that to me. Every time we go to the grocery store, I take the avocados and I kind of throw them on the belt. And she's like, what are you doing? You're going to bruise them.
No, you're not. See, but here's the thing. That's okay. So everybody's up in arms about self-scanning in grocery stores versus having an actual checkout person, right?
Yes.
And there's pros and cons. Like, okay, it's a pain in the butt because we always have wine. So you always have to have someone go.
Right. Us too. Us too.
But then I go, I'm being carted. Like, I'm almost 50. So that's pretty good for me. I'm happy about that. So, like, card me. That's good. But you get carted at the other side too, but not as frequently, you know? And it's a mess. Sometimes you have to wait for someone. However, I get to coddle the fruit. Like, you get to take care of those avocados. And when you go to the store, that's the thing, is you have to see, you can see people's thumbprints in an avocado. And I'm like, dude, why did you do that? You know, or like they just throw your, you know, every,
people
even eggs,
everything.
I've watched people just throw the eggs in. I'm like, dude, do you know a chicken went through to give you that egg? I mean, they had to pop that egg out. And you know, it's just not that easy, you know, But it's but now you can be gentle with your produce, and you just hope the people before you were gentle. You know, be gentle with the fruit and talk to it. Do you talk to your food when you're cooking?
Not only do I talk to my food, I listen to it.
Oh,
I listen to it. It tells you. You have to listen. If you're sauteing a piece of fish and you want crispy skin, it's going to tell you, you got to flip me. Don't wait another minute. Right now, flip me. The pan tells you when it's ready. The viscosity of the oil, when it changes, it says, look at me, pay attention.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't just leave and cook a good meal.
No.
No, you can't. You can't.
Well,
no. I learned that just from watching Lisa.
Well, listen to the food. Yeah. Pop, fizz, bang. We've got a lot. We started off with one song today, which was Junior Walker and the All-Stars with Home Cookin', released January 6, 1969. And it's like a classic old track. And I mean, really good music to cook with. But then we got with Ivan, and Ivan starts rattling off all kinds of musicians, from Johnny Cash and the Stones to Eric Burton, Put the Lime in the Coconut song. Now we got Ducks by the Kinks. We got John Lee Hooker, Walk This Way from Aerosmith. And so I think Walk This Way, you know, it's almost, is that like your food's telling you, walk this way and turn me over in the frying pan?
Yes.
That's it. Yes. So we're going to have a mini music playlist for today's show. And we'll add some fun things in there that are all foodie related. Movies, because you're talking so much about Julia. There's that series out that I think HBO or Max, whatever they call it, is out now. Two series of Julia. And it really focuses on her time when she was in Boston and started, you know, she revolutionized public television. And when you think about it, it was kind of at the beginning of public television when she went off to cook and this, and she funded her own TV shows. I did not know that. You know, she was
in love
with it.
Yeah.
Have you seen that series, Ivan?
Bits and pieces.
Oh, you got to watch the whole thing. And her accent, accent, how did she end up with that accent, do you think? You know?
I think she developed in the kitchen, like she started
France.
Like talking to the chickens and the you know, and then being in France and like just, it just, I think it just came out and that's,
wee
what,
wee.
That's who she was. Yeah. She's adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable.
You know? She sounds like Patricia Rutledge, who is the character of Hyacinth Bouquet in the British sitcom. I mean, this is from the 70s too. 80s, I think, in the 80s of Keeping Up Appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they almost look alike
they sound
almost identical. And I, you know, Patricia Rutledge does actually just sound like that, but Hyacinth is over the top. And we're every time we watch this show, our jaws are down going, these two are like doppelgangers.
Same person.
It's
the
crazy.
Same person.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody, you know, copied somebody maybe, or they just have the same.
No. They're the
genes.
Same.
Who knows?
It's the same era, you know, but Julia Child's from Pasadena. Who knew? You know, I thought she was from England. Yeah. She's from
Pasadena.
And she was an athlete and a World War II spy. Don't forget that. She was a spy.
Don't forget she was a spy.
Don't mess with Julia.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a spy.
She's a spy.
No idea.
And apparently a really, really good one and one of the very few females.
Mm-hmm.
So she
I'm gonna have to try and see if we can find a link for everyone to watch the show, her original show. Because then didn't she hang out with the Galloping Gourmet and is it Jacques
I loved him,
Pepin?
Graham Kerr. Oh my God. He's still out there doing videos and appearances, Jacques Pepin.
Oh really? Wow.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
He's in his 80s. He's still kicking it.
Wow. Wow. This is cool. All right. And then Julie and Julia is another movie about a blogger who did all the recipes from The Art of French Cooking. I think that was her thing.
Mm-hmm.
We watched that years ago. So that's a cool movie to watch too. So that's today's show. We want to thank our Eat, Drink, Be Merry radio show listeners and also our Big Daily Blend listeners, everybody on Big Blend Radio. And thank you, Chef Ivan. It's a new year. We can't wait for next time. I don't know what we're going to be doing. Maybe we should do safety in the kitchen.
Oh, I could talk a lot about that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we could share some
and
horror
remember,
stories.
Remember right now, one of the most incredible fruits are in season, persimmons.
Really?
Not the small ones, the big ones. I think they're called hiyaki or hiyachi. The bigger ones, they look like the head of a missile and they're very orange and you let them get really ripe. And I can't explain it. It is the most amazing fruit I think I've ever put in my mouth.
They're really good. They are, they are like a good luck thing, I think, in Asian cultures, like almost like mandarins.
Well then,
you know.
Well then, I'm going to play the lottery then because I've been eating a lot of them.
You just go and like, my, what beautiful persimmons!
Oh, hello.
I had to go there. Everyone, again, Chef Ivan's recipe to do this pan-roasted Muscovy duck breasts with spiced orange marmarmade. Now you're going to have to go make a persimmon sauce now. You know, I'm just saying.
That sounds good.
Would that work?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Now, persimmon martinis. I don't know why.
Yes, why not?
Hey,
why not?
It's exciting to get creative with whatever's in season and see what you can make and take recipes like what Ivan's got here and change it up to what you have on hand as well. And to just be creative. So it's super fun.
Yeah.
The recipes on blendradioandtv.com, links to everything we talked about are in the show notes. Thank you all. Thank you, Ivan.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Thanks,
I'll
Ivan.
Speak to you guys soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.